Harns lining up. Holt along that defensive line, along with Byron Stevenson. Also in there is Jake Frederick. And a 4-3 setup for Orange. And the other defensive end will be Archwell Stewart, who will also see tonight offensively as a wingback in Pat Moser's double wing setup. So now first and five after the 5-yard mark off on the initial play from scrimmage. Again, out of the shotgun, Jamie Newman started as a freshman last year at quarterback at the varsity level for the Red Devils. He fakes the handoff. He'll run to the left. He's getting close to the first down as he scampers across the line, but the orange jerseys catch up with him there, and he's piled up on just shy of the first down. Leading the charge was Mark Holt. So Newman, picking up where he left off last week, gains 4, and it'll be second down and 1. As a beautiful day here in the Hillsboro area winds to a close as the sun sets in the south end zone.
Graham's going to have to be careful today when their ball carriers get the ball. Jeff Orange going for the strip early on. Several tacklers in there at once to try and pull that runner down and maybe even jar the ball loose. Something to watch.
Again, Newman out of the backfield. The leading rusher, Ladarius Lee, on this Graham team is the only back in the backfield, and he'll take the call. Tries to cut up the middle, spins off a tackle. He's got the first down, but the orange jerseys once again pounced right on him, as again leading the charge was Nick Schultz. Also getting in there, number 93, Jake Frederick. But it is a first down for Graham. He only needed 2, did Lee, and that's what he got.
Nice little run there. He had to do a lot of dipsy-doo and dancing to get past that line of scrimmage and to get across for the first down, but he did a good job to get there. Going to take a little bit stronger rushing attack from the I formation in the future, but nice little run there on the first down play.
This is a young Graham team, 34 players on the roster, 16 of them freshmen or sophomores, one of them at quarterback. Newman sends a man in motion, fakes the pass to him. Now he's going to launch it deep down the field. It's going to be picked off by Joe Piscatelli at the Graham 41-yard line. Piscatelli, a wideout on offense who caught his first touchdown pass of the year 2 weeks ago against Northern, comes up with the swipe here. He also had an interception against Knights in the Panthers' home opener. So it'll be first down for Orange. The markup will come at the Panther 42.
Pretty interception there by Piscatelli. Looked like a nice play was developing there for the Graham Red Devils, and Newman launched it downfield. He just underthrew his receiver a little bit. They had some action developing in the flat there, Jeff. He elected not to take it and sent it deep, and it ended up costing the Devils.
So now we see the Panther offense, which is averaging 401 yards per game thus far through the first three contests. And handoff on the right side, Drew LeMaster, who's taking the place of the injured Pat Pettiford, rumbles around right in, and he's right into Graham territory immediately as he streaks to the 43-yard line, where he's forced out of bounds to the far end along the Red Devils sideline. LeMaster in as the other wingback in place of Pat Pettiford, who sprained his ankle and orange his victory last week over Riverside in Durham, 38-0. The most lopsided result in the 22-year history of that rivalry. Piscatelli has one right out to the right. He just picked off a pass to set up this drive. To the near side, it's Kyle Muller. In motion goes Tay Jones, the leading rusher on the team. And it'll be a lateral to Jones out of the backfield, but it falls to the turf. That's going to be ruled an incomplete pass, and that was a generous ruling for the Panthers there. That was clearly a lateral.
The Red Devils assistant coaches nearby is frustrated with that call. We had a really good view of it here, Jeff, and it did look like it was indeed a lateral, and it was dropped, and the receiver did not try to pounce on the ball. Graham could have easily picked that up and run it all the way back for a touchdown, but the defenders weren't trying to take advantage of that either once they saw that incomplete pass designation.
So it'll be second down and 10 off the first incompletion of the night thrown by Orange quarterback Garrett Clower. He comes in averaging 68% completion percentage. Toss sweep will go to Jones. Running this side, he's to the 40 and taken down at the 39. So a third and long coming up. Good play by Trey Yarborough to come over on the stop along with number 8, Don Evans. So it'll be third down, call it third medium, as the gain ahead to the 39 will make it third down and 6.
Good defense. Good defense so far from Graham here, Jeff. I like what they're doing. I like the defensive pressure they're getting up front, even though they're going up against a pretty stout offensive line for Orange.
Senior center Adam Reynolds, who's also the long snapper for this Panther team, lines up over the ball as he's about to snap it to Clower, who threw for 4 touchdowns in the season opening win against Person. Step back goes Clower. Here's the throw in the flat. It's incomplete. He was looking for Piscatelli, but he left it wide of his hands. On coverage that time, Khalil Poole, the free safety, and it'll be fourth down Interesting decision here for fifth-year head coach Pat Moser here, and it looks like the offense is going to stay on the field.
Moser with a lot to play for here tonight, going up against his former team. Not surprised to see him go for it here on fourth down. It's one of those tough spots. You don't really want to have to punt it from this distance, but it's out of your field goal kicker's range. Or it's early in the game, why not go for it?
Got the beef in there, interestingly enough, on this fourth and sixth situation. Michael Bolden, the lone single back here. And the toss sweep will go to LeMaster. He'll run for the first down to the far end of the field. 35, he's got it. Drew LeMaster to the 25. Flag is thrown just as he stepped out of bounds at the 20-yard line of Graham. Let's see where the markup's going to come. It looks like it could be a block in the back against Orange that would carry the ball back to the 40. So Orange would get another crack at this if it's against them. The head official in this game tonight is Lynn Roberts. And oh, it's a face mask called against Graham. So never mind that. It's going to be a first down and more for Orange. The gain was good to the 30-yard line. And then another 15 on top of that will be half the distance to the goal line to make it first and 10 for Orange at the Red Devil 15. Drew LeMaster stepping in for Pat Pettiford tonight. LeMaster wound up finishing third in the Mideast region in wrestling for Bobby Schreiner's Grappling Panthers at 170 pounds. He was a member of a 3A state championship dual wrestling team this past winter. In motion goes Jones. Again, the lone back in the backfield is Michael Bolden, who scored against Northern 2 weeks ago, a one-yard plunge that got the Panthers on the board. Quick out. We'll go to Jones. Far in, 15-yard line. He rumbles to the 10, and the white shirts gang up on him there. Jones is the leading receiver on this Panther team in terms of number of catches. He just made his seventh grab of the night. Orange is quite generous when it comes to spreading the ball around. They don't have a lack of skill players, even without Pettiford in the game tonight. The gain is good for seven, so it's second and three from the Graham eight. So that fourth down decision on fourth and six to go for it pays off heavily. A 15-yard pickup by LeMaster. Tack on another 15 after the face mask. Now second down, as Arn sets up in the double wing, LeMaster will be one wing back, Jones is the other, Bolden stays in the game as the fullback. Here's Clower, handoff, Bolden runs to the left, he rumbles to the five, and he's into the end zone for a touchdown. Michael Bolden with his second touchdown run of the year. 2 weeks ago against Northern, he brought the Panthers to the scoreboard early in the second quarter with a one-yard touchdown run, this one from 7 yards out. And the Panthers lead 6-0.
Very pretty drive there for the Orange Panthers, capitalizing on the Red Devils' turnover, marching down the field, converting on a fourth down play, tacking on the face mask penalty, making it easy for them to punch it into the end zone.
Now Barbie for the extra point, the hold down by Bryce Wilson. The snap courtesy of Adam Reynolds, and the kick is good. So Orange taking advantage of the turnover, forced off the interception by Joe Piscatelli, and they have the lead against Graham. It's 7-0 with 8:24 to go here in the first quarter, and you're listening to ChapelBurl.com.
Mark Vitale's All of That Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All of That Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All of That Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Robbie Oakes, senior mortgage banker with Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. As a Chapel Hill native and a UNC grad, I am proud to work with the only locally owned mortgage bank in Chapel Hill. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows. Whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
Well, Darius Lee takes the kickoff for Graham. He's past the 20, over the 25, stops shy of the 30-yard line as the kickoff comes from Brad Barbie. And so Graham will set up at their own 30-yard line, down 7-0, just shy of 4 minutes into tonight's contest here at Almond Stadium as Orange cashed in off a 6-yard touchdown run by Michael Bolden. After the Panthers went for it on 4th and 6, Drew LeMaster kept the drive alive by running for 15 yards on a toss sweep. And then came another penalty against Graham for a face mask, and from there, Bolden did the rest. So now it's first down as Jamie Newman steps back out of the shotgun at quarterback with Lee in the backfield with him. And the design keeper for Newman. He'll take it around left end. Can't find any room there. Tried to break it up the middle. Got a yard, if that. And once again, the Panther defensive line winning the size battle up front. Byron Stevenson helped haul Newman to the turf after a gain of two. Want to make mention here tonight that out in Caldwell tomorrow, the Spirit of Caldwell Day, in memory of Casey Chamberlain. In a perfect world, Casey would be here tonight rooting the Panthers on, but it's not a perfect world, sadly. Casey would want everyone to go on out to Caldwell and enjoy the day tomorrow. Even if you didn't know her, you're welcome. That's the way she would have wanted it. So go on out to Caldwell during the day tomorrow if you can find some time and enjoy yourself. Here's the toss sweep on second and eight. It's Lee looking to the far end of the field, and he rumbles ahead past the 40, and he's got the first down as he found plenty of room. Good blocking from the wide receivers out there, led by Jeremy Williams. And it'll be a first down for the Red Devils as he flips the chains ahead to the 43 after a gain of 11.
Strong run by Lee. I really like that, Jeff. And he lowers that shoulder. He uses the stiff arm very effectively. He's a good runner. I expect to see Graham giving him the ball quite a bit tonight.
The Orange defense only giving up 168 yards per contest. Last week, 202 yards they yielded against Riverside in that triple option attack. Now it's a pistol setup on first and 10 from the Graham 43. Newman, handoff, Lee, piled up in the backfield immediately and tripped up. Getting in, number 10, Bryce Wilson. And yes, there are some UNC scouts here tonight, and the rumor is they have their eye on number 10 for several reasons, be it the gridiron or the diamond. Second down.
Yeah, he gets a lot of attention from both the football coaches at UNC, but they are particularly, Jeff, as you well know, zeroing in on him to possibly play baseball at UNC in the future.
That's right. He was a Max Preps All-American, 11-0 as a starting pitcher his freshman year this past spring with a 1.12 ERA. Play action fake by Newman. He meets pressure immediately, and he's going to be brought down from behind, but he manages to carry a couple of Panthers ahead. Boy, what size by Newman there, because most quarterbacks would have gone down immediately. Newman turned that potential sack into a gain of five on the play. Bryce Wilson came over on the stop, speaking of the devil. He'll be third down after a gain of what turns out to be five.
You know, he does a really nice job of keeping his weight above his body, above his legs. He doesn't let his weight get distributed too far in front of him, so when he takes that hit, he immediately starts to fall down. Keeps his body straight up. It limits his speed a little bit when he's in tight spaces like that, but it allows him to kind of drag defenders along with him and bounce off of them for a couple of extra yards.
Courtney Edmonds goes to the far end on third down and six. There'll be four wide receivers out of the shotgun. Newman with Lee in the backfield once again. Steps back. Panthers come with a blitz, and Newman wrapped up, and he's going to be dropped. The first man to get to him is Byron Stevenson once again. And then the Army came right on and hauled him to the turf. Stevenson was the first man to get him. And the sack made back at the Graham 42-yard line.
Very pretty play made that time by the Orange defense. Jeff, they're getting great penetration. That size of the defensive line is really starting to cause the Red Devils some trouble, and that's allowing some of the linebackers to get off the edge a little bit quicker. Boy, the pressure is just really mounting against that Graham offense so far in this game.
Edwin Areolas, who is a triple threat kicker for Graham, back to punt, but first the Red Devils call a timeout. We'll take it with them. 4:57 remaining first quarter. It is Orange 7, Graham nothing, and you're listening to ChapelBurrow.com.
Hi, this is Ron Stutz. At Carolina Ophthalmology here in Chapel Hill, Dr. Jamie Bryant has been performing vision correction surgery, including LASIK and PRK, for 18 years. Dr. Bryant performed my vision correction surgery about a decade ago. It really changed my life. Dr. Bryant is certified by the American Board of Ophthalmology and is Chapel Hill's most experienced vision correction surgeon. At your free consultation, Dr. Bryant will answer your questions and evaluate whether vision correction procedures are right for you. Visit Carolina2020.com or call 919-945-EYES.
A first down a moment ago for Graham, but then the sack initiated by Byron Stevenson results in what appears to be a punt here, coming up for Edwin Areolas. And back deep for the Panthers will be Kai Muller, the second leading receiver on the Orange team. Panthers set up for a return. Areolas gets off a low punt, a low spiral. Myler takes it at the 20. He's ahead to the 25. Steps out of tackle, 30. 35, flag is down. Ball to the 50-yard line, to the 40, 30. Looks like this is going to come back. Correction, this is J.D. Brooks who's in there, not Muller. And he takes it back for what would have been an 80-yard punt return for a touchdown, but there are two flags down almost immediately after Brooks took the ball.
Well, the first flag that came out, I didn't see what happened there, but the second one most definitely was Jeremy Williams for Graham getting laid out. He was the last man to be blocked on the play, and you could tell that the orange player who laid that block out on Williams knew immediately that he shouldn't have done it, but it was just so juicy because it was the last one to spring that runner. He just popped him from behind, and the flag immediately came out. Unfortunately, it's going to wipe out the touchdown. And the unfortunate fact is that even though there is that other first flag that came out, Jeff, let's pretend that first flag didn't happen. Orange had the manpower there to make that last block legally, and
right.
Unfortunately they weren't able to do it on the play, and it's going to take this thing back.
So Orange with two block in the back penalties. One was so juicy, though, Walter, as you mentioned, there was no way that Orange defender could resist. The ball lined up at the Panther 28. And it will be first down for the Panthers, moving right to left across your digital radio dial. Their first drive of the night wound up going a total of 58 yards and seven plays and resulted in the seven-yard touchdown rumble by Michael Bolden. And Bolden stays in the game here. Orange down a skill player tonight, not only down a skill player, but down one of their leading rushers in Pat Pettiford. LeMaster in motion. Handoff, Jones takes it around left guard, breaks out of a tackle, 35, flags are down. 40, and Jones is ahead to the 43. He lost his helmet in the process. Jones, three varsity starts, three 100-yard rushing games. This one, however, which would have been good for 15, will be called back for a block in the back.
And because Jones had his helmet come off during the play, he's going to have to come out and sit out at least one play here.
That is the rule not only in college but also in high school. Jones made his first varsity start against Person 3 weeks ago tonight. He ran for 127 yards and two touchdowns. He followed that with a career-high 148 yards against Northern and then scored two touchdowns last week against Riverside. And he's tied for the team lead in receptions. A legal shift called against Orange. So it's now first and 15 with the ball back to the 23. LeMaster in with Bolden. Bolden this time in as a wingback. Mark Holt is also in there as the fullback. And back to pass. It's Clower looking near side. Caught Muller, 30-yard line, near sideline to the 32. And he'll drag a couple of Red Devils closer to the first down. Muller just a tad bit shy, but he gets it all the way out to the Orange 36-yard line where he's hauled to the turf by Don Evans.
Just nice, strong running. Really well done there by Muller. And enjoy watching him not only receive the ball, but also using that body to get some extra yardage. Doing a nice job with 3:45 remaining here in the first quarter, and Orange up 7-0. Jeff, looking to add more.
Seventh reception of the year by Muller. That one good for 11. Total now at 127 yards on the year. Jones in there as the wingback. Muller under center, hands off Bolden. He'll fight his way closer to the first down, but one of the Red Devil linemen, 55 Ashton Richmond, managed to get in there and take his legs out from under him. But Bolden got the first down anyway as he got exactly what he needed, which was 3 yards. First down for the Panthers at their own 40.
Nice job. They needed the big man to get some yardage there. It's exactly what he did and keeps the chains moving as we continue to roll down here in the first quarter.
Artrell Stewart, another two-way player in for the Panthers, this time as a wideout. He's wide to the right. That's the far end of the field. 7-0, Orange with the lead. LeMaster goes in motion. Clower, handoff. Now he pulls it back, and we have a loose ball. Clower tried to fall on it, and he succeeded. Looked like something got caught up there between the exchange between he and Michael Bolden, and Clower fell on the ball for a loss of one. So it'll be 2nd and 11. Orange looking for its first 4-0 start in recent memory. In fact, no one can remember the last time Orange started 4-0. We have asked many people around the Hillsboro area. It did not happen during the glory days of Mark Pounds and Scott Satterfield in the early 90s. Orange wound up playing almost exclusively a conference schedule back then. They were in the 4A Pac-6 conference. Panthers, though, did make their way into the state polls this week as we have flags hit before the snap and a false start called against Orange to make it 2nd and 16. Panthers number 10 in the state in 3A. And tonight will be their final game before their bye week. And then after that, what will be a rigorous Big 8 schedule starts. Orange will travel to Pittsburgh to take on the Northwood Chargers. That's 2 weeks from tonight.
Conference play is going to be really fun to watch with Orange this year because they're ranked so high in the state in the 3A competition, and they're going to be the favorites going into a lot of contests. A little bit of unusual territory for this Orange squad.
Graham shows blitz on second and 16. The toss will go to Jones, and he's wrapped up in the backfield, and he'll be dropped. Graham doing a stellar job in containing Tay Jones thus far in the contest. Courtney Edmonds and Abraham Reyes come over on the tackle for loss. So the loss is of one. And I'll make it third and 17 now, back to the 33. Jones has really been the most consistent rusher for a Panther team that's had a very solid offense thus far on the year, but tonight he's slow getting out of the gate. LeMaster and Jones will be the wingbacks. Now the double wing setup here. Bolden once again in the game as the fullback. And here's Clower with a play-action fake. He'll roll out to the far end of the field, looking to throw, chunks it down. It is caught by Piscatelli. He's fighting for the first down, but he'll be stopped at the 45-yard line of Orange. He needed to get to the 50, so it'll be fourth down. And the punting unit will come on for the Panthers as Seth Mathis will make his initial appearance to boot the ball away.
Nice job on the play, though, to extend it as Clover was running to his right, able to throw back across his body a little bit to get it to Piscatelli, but didn't quite get far enough to get the first down, and that was a nice job by the Graham defense to get there in time to flush him out of the pocket and limit his ability to throw it downfield.
Jama Summers will take the punt here. The kick is away by Mathis. Summers will let it bounce at the 20. He lets it roll down to the 17-yard line. Clock stop with 36.9 seconds remaining. We mentioned that Pat Moser for Orange is facing a team that he knows very well. He led Graham to the 2001A state championship. Graham now a 2A team competing in the Mid-State Conference. Coach Moser said he did get a little sentimental this week, and this contest would add some emotion because not only is he coaching against his old team, but two of his assistants also coaching against their old team. Mike McCauley, Orange's defensive coordinator, was the head coach for Graham for some 7 years. All right, first down for Graham. Deep in its own territory at the 17-yard line. And here's Newman with the handoff. Lee, and he is stacked up in the backfield and dropped for a loss. First man to get in there, Jack LeMaster, the junior linebacker at 5'6", 160 pounds. The loss back to the 15.
Nowhere for Lee to operate on that play. Just didn't have anywhere to go and put him in a little bit of trouble. Orange, when they're able to get up in the middle like that, get past the center and in between the guards, they really cause a lot of problems for Graham. The Red Devils are going to have to try and get those plays off a little bit faster. They can't really afford to do a lot of misdirection back there and a lot of the dipsy-do moves because they've got to get past that line of scrimmage as fast as they can.
We'll see if they'll run the next play before the first quarter clock runs down. They will not. So that's the end of the first quarter, and the score is Orange 7, Graham nothing. And you're listening to High School Football on ChapelBurl.com.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Geez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility, what you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
We're back here in Hillsboro. Orange leads 7-0 against Graham. Graham with the ball to start the second quarter. Walter, what do we have on the stat sheet?
Well, so far Graham has been able to get two first downs on their drives. They've got eight rushes, but only for 17 yards. Penalties have been hurting them a little bit as well. They've lost 14 yards, and it's killed a couple of drives as well. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball with the Orange Panthers, they've achieved 4 first downs so far in this game. A little bit more success on the ground. 8 rushes for 30 yards. Of course, they put that touchdown on the board to lead 7-0.
And here's the handoff. Lee will take it, running to the right side, trying to run the distance here to the far end of the field. Flags are down. He's got the first down, does Lee, as he streaks ahead to about the 25, but we have flags and a hold called against the Red Devils.
Going to knock this one back, and again, penalties hurting the Red Devils in this game, but also hurt the Orange Panthers a lot on the kick return. Block in the back, in fact, 2 of them on the play, ended up canceling out what would have been a return for the touchdown. So if both of these teams can get the penalties straightened out a little bit more, their offenses will have more success.
Thus far, it's been a game where both teams have struggled for rhythm. This will be a half the distance to the goal line penalty against Graham, which will take it to the Red Devil 8-yard line. The yard to gain will be the 27, so that makes it second down and 19. It was Michael Bolden who scored the game's only touchdown thus far from 7 yards out. Orange picked off a pass. Joe Piscatelli with the interception on the initial Graham drive of the night, and that led to the Michael Bolden touchdown run. Now it's 2nd and 19 from the Graham 8, and here's Newman with a handoff. It goes to number 3. This is Malik Springfield in the game, and he runs to the right side where he's game tackled, crossing the 10-yard line. He got to the 11 for a gain of 3.
Springfield with his first touch of the night. Didn't get much movement there. It looks like Graham's probably just going to be happy to get out of this drive without anything too bad happening and try and punt this one away, as this is a long third down play coming up.
While Orange has been averaging over 40 points per game this far, this is the type of game where the double wing is designed as a solid field position offense. And this is exactly what it's implemented for here. During nights where your offense isn't exactly clicking. Here's the toss. He'll go to Lee. He'll look for any room he can. Gets out to about the 13, and that's where he's absolutely walloped. And guess who got him? Bryce Wilson.
The highly recruited man really put the helmet right into his belly and sent him flying backwards. Lee comes up a little bit slow from that hit, and I don't blame him. That was a very, very tough one to absorb.
Gain of 4, but boy, did he pay through the nose to get it. He'll be fourth down. You heard the oohs and ahs from the crowd. Bryce Wilson is the son of a former Panther defensive lineman, Chad Wilson, who graduated here from Orange High in 1990. Now the punt. It'll come from Areolas. Back deep once again is J.D. Brooks standing at the Red Devil 43. A high kick. Brooks will field it. He'll have a return. Goes to the far end, past the 45. Oh, what a block by Stewart. Past the 35, over to 30. Brooks, 20, 15, far sideline. Tries to stay in bounds, but he's upended inside the 10. And it was a huge block by Archwell Stewart that set it all up. Markell Day is a man slow in getting up, as he felt all of the weight from Archwell Stewart on that block that feed up the big return, that fed the big return by J.D. Brooks.
Brooks got a lot of help there, and boy, it was a tough, tough hit on Markell Day. Good news for Graham fans is Markell Day, although it was very slow getting back to his feet, he did walk off under the field, off the field under his own power, and does seem to be okay, but certainly a bell ringer there.
So it's first and goal, and now Orange has to call a timeout as they only have 10 men. Or excuse me, Graham calls the timeout. They had only 10 men on the field. We'll take the timeout with them. Graham now with only one timeout remaining in the first half. 7-0, Orange with the lead, and you're listening to ChapelBurrow.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Quite a return there by J.D. Brooks. The return was good officially all the way down to the 9-yard line for 26 yards. Make that 36 yards. And so Orange will set up out of the double wing offense, first and goal from the Graham 9-yard line. Panthers winning the field position game as their offense hasn't exactly been hot to start this contest. Clore with the backdrop now throws. It is caught. Piscatelli with his knee touching the ground before he could make his way to the end zone at the 5-yard line. He was about to score, but he wound up having his knee touched down first, and so it's a gain of 4.
That's tough because Piscatelli was going to make a nice move to the inside there. He was going to be really sprinting for that end zone. It was going to be a fun play to watch unfold, but he stopped immediately when he heard the whistle, knowing his knee had just grazed the ground.
Piscatelli already with a big night, 3 receptions and an interception that set up the Panthers' only touchdown so far. That could change, though. Bolden is in the backfield as the lone fullback. Orange goes with 3 wide receivers on second down. Back to throw. Kohler, short drop back. The throw is dropped. Wide open that time was Muller, but he just couldn't haul it in. And it'll be third down. Third and goal.
Pass was a quick one there by Kohler, but it was a little low, and it bounced off of Muller's legs. He needs to get his arms out a little bit further in front of him, try and make a hand catch there. Can't really catch balls off of your knees, but you can't really fault him 100% there because the pass did come in low.
Kohler has completed 68% of his passes coming in tonight, but that percentage is going to dip unless things improve. Now third and goal. Again, a wing back and the handoff. Jones, he'll follow his blockers right up the middle. Dives for the goal line, gets in. Touchdown, Orange.
Wow, my eyes were darting left and right trying to find the ball carrier on that play. No wonder he got into the end zone. I think the Graham defenders were doing the same. They were running backs running in all different directions there for the Orange Panthers, and it pays off with 6 points.
And that is why Garrett Kohler is such a solid quarterback, because when you operate out of the double wing, you have to have a quarterback that's adept at ball movement, and that's why he's so solid. And it led to an easy 5-yard touchdown run by Tay Jones to make it 13-0. Now, the extra point by Brad Barbie. The kick is up off the hole by Wilson, and the kick is good. So Orange takes advantage of the big return by J.D. Brooks to score, with Tay Jones putting it in for his 6th touchdown of the year. And the score is Orange 14, Graham nothing. And you're listening to ChapelBurl.com.
It's summer, and we're all spending more time playing sports and enjoying outdoor activities. With that means more injuries, bumps, and bruises. That's why UNC Family Medicine is your one-stop shop for treating injuries. You'll be cared for by the same staff that works with UNC teams and Chapel Hill Carborough school sports. From on-site x-rays to physical therapy, UNC Family Medicine is here. And you can make appointments easily on the web at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
36-yard punt return by J.D. Brooks, setting up a 3-play, 9-yard drive for the touchdown. The score by Tay Jones, who now has 6 rushing touchdowns on the year, along with 7 receptions after he caught one earlier tonight. Jones scoring from 5 yards out, and Orange leads 14-0 after the extra point by Brad Barbie. Barbie will stand by as the kicker now. Back deep will be number 11, Ladarius Lee. Also back there, Daniel Graves. So the Panthers off to a solid start once again. Graves will take the kickoff. He'll have a return at the 11. 15, cuts up middle of the field, 20, past the 25. He's to the 30, and that's where he's tackled. Got down to the 32, where he was taken to the turf by Jack LeMaster. So 8:58 remaining in the first half, and a 3-0 Orange team that not only defeated three 4A opponents to start the year, but defeated 3 straight conference rivals, former conference rivals, in Person, Northern Durham, and Riverside. Setting up on defense now, Graham will take it 1st and 10 officially from its own 33-yard line. Now a run-and-shoot setup here for Graham. The quarterback, Jamie Newman, who led the team in rushing last week in the loss to Western Alamance. Steps back, throws, and the pass is dropped by Courtney Edmonds. It was a quick out to Edmonds, who already had a knee on the ground trying to make the catch, but then it fell out of his hands. On coverage at that time was Brandon Vanhook. Second down here for Graham, that has a helmet design very similar to the Georgia Bulldogs. They have black helmets as opposed to red. They have a logo that's pretty much just like Georgia, or the Green Bay Packers if you prefer the NFL. They have red pants and white jerseys with red numerals. Orange, of course, and all orange with white numerals and a capital O in white on their orange head gear. 2nd and 10. Orange leads 14-0. Graham with the ball with 8:54 to go here in the first half. Newman again will throw on 2nd down. Lunges it long down the field. It is through the hands of Brooks, who dropped an interception. It'll be 3rd down.
Well, on first down, you got to make that catch if you're Edmonds. I mean, you even put your knee down on the ground to stabilize yourself. You got to let that thing get in the breadbasket and at least get your team a couple of yards to give you options on your next down. But now they're forced with a second and 10, and the long pass is incomplete. And so here they are at third and 10.
So far on the night, it's been a struggle trying to get anything going for Newman as he is 0 of 3 throwing. And he's been held in check on the ground, preferring to let Ladarius Lee, his lone running back on most plays, do the ball carrying. So it's third down and 10 now from the Graham 33. Newman again will drop back. Looks, meets pressure, going to carry a Panther ahead. Now lunges at desperation, and it's incomplete. And it was almost a sack there for Jake Frederick. The ball thrown at the very last minute for Lee, but that was a desperation lunge more than anything else. And a tango for Graham.
Did a great job to extend the play, stay on his feet, and try and find Lee on the play. He just threw it over the top of Lee's head, and Lee had no chance to make a play of it. If he had gotten it in his hands, he had some room upfield to maybe try and get to that first down marker, but it was not to be on that play.
Great night so far for the orange defensive tackle tandem of Byron Stevenson and Jake Frederick. Now the kick away by Areolas. Brooks will let this one bounce, and it turns out to be a mistake as it hits a good 15 yards down the field after the ball strikes the 35-yard stripe, and it dies at the 20. So it's first down and 10 for Orange, already with a 14-0 lead. And, Walter, they have not had a long, sustained drive tonight. Both big drives for Orange, their touchdown drives, have been set up either by the defense or by the special teams unit.
And that's what, Pat Moser's going to be challenging his team with on this drive here is, hey, guys, let's control the clock. Let's get down the field. Let's not try and, certainly big plays are nice, but let's see what we can do to establish this drive, keep our defense off the field for a little bit, try and put 21 points up on the board.
Clower in at quarterback, and we have flags down before he can take the snap from center Adam Reynolds. Jeffrey Campbell checks into the game now as a wideout to the left side. To the right, it's Kai Muller. An orange whistle for an offside penalty before the ball could be delivered to Clower's hands.
I believe that Kai Muller at wide receiver may have been lined up in the neutral zone.
Most instances, that's simply called a false start, but here in high school, that's technically offside. It's old school here that way.
I say it was Muller by his frustrated body language after the whistle.
And now he checks with the side judge to make sure he's lined up just fine. All right, first and 15 now. From the Panther 15, Clower, play action fake, now hands it off to Jones, runs around left end, another flag is down, this time thrown by the umpire. Chances are you know what that means. Ball back to the original line of scrimmage at the 20, but this could be a hold. Referee was looking right at the center of the line. Kai Muller throws up his arms in frustration as he runs to the sideline, and it is a hold against Orange. So, another few yards tat against the Panthers. This will be half the distance to the goal line. Ball was advanced to the 20 and looks like it's going to be moved back to about the 8-yard line here. Orange wound up scoring first in the game. Michael Bolden scored from 7 yards out. And then to start the second quarter, Tay Jones, his 6th rushing touchdown of the year. Ended the drive that was jump-started off a 39-yard punt return by J.D. Brooks, the senior, 6'3", 180 pounds. Ball back to the 8. The yard, the gain is the 30, so it's first and 22. Bolden is the backfield fullback. The wingbacks will be LeMaster, who's in tonight for the injured Pat Pettiford, and Jones. Jones now in motion. And here's the toss, and the toss wound up getting fumbled. LeMaster picks it up in an ad-lib situation, runs to the near sideline, and got ahead to about the 12. I think that pitch out hit LeMaster's leg, and from there, it was complete tap dancing for the Panthers. LeMaster did everything he could do, though, to get yardage, which is exactly what they wanted there. They wound up getting 8 yards out of what could have been disaster.
But unfortunately, because it took him so long to get out of the backfield, what would have been a play that allowed him to get around the edge and turn it upfield, instead he's angled straight out of bounds, and Graham did a good job to keep him on the sideline and not allow him to turn the corner.
Gain of 5. Ball to the 14, so it's second down. Call it second and 16. LeMaster once again in with Jones as the wingbacks in this double-wing setup for fifth-year head coach Pat Moser and the Orange Panthers. Graham teases a blitz. Moser with a short, or Clover with a short drop back. Now he'll chuck it deep down the field. It is caught and dropped. Muller had it on the run, and he couldn't quite haul it in. Boy, he just streaked out like a 100-meter sprinter. And he had nothing between him and the goal line if he just hauls it in. It was that close to an 85-yard touchdown.
You can't throw a better ball than Garrett Clower just did right there. Couple steps on the drop, unleashes it down the field. He hit Muller in stride perfectly, maybe an inch longer than it needed to be, but Muller's got to stretch out and make that catch. I think Muller wanted to catch it on the run so he could make it all the way to the goal line, but he ended up sacrificing the catch by trying to keep his stride straight, not lean forward to get the pass.
Clower throws very few balls over 15 yards, but he delivered that one a good 40 yards down the field, as you mentioned, Walter, like a total pro.
That one looked like he does that all day long.
Yeah. Now we have another flag. That was a better deep ball pass than anything we saw last night with the Jets and the Patriots. Have an offside call against Graham this time. And when I say that, I'm not kidding. I mean it. That was better than anything we saw from Geno Smith or Tom Brady last night.
That was one of the more beautiful high school passes I've seen in the past couple of years, no doubt about it.
5 yards against the Grand Red Devils will make it third and 11 now. Ball up to the Panther 20 with 7:45 remaining. Orange leading 14-0. And here's Clower with a wing back, set to drop back, seven-step drop, meets a blitz, but sets up the screen for Jones, 25 to the 30. Jones has got the first down as he fights ahead past the 30-yard line, and he's still struggling in there trying to get more yards. Tay Jones winds up to the 33. Now we have a flag thrown at the line of scrimmage. It has been a choppy game thus far tonight between these two teams, and we have an ineligible man downfield against Orange that will nullify this play. It stood to be a 16-yard pickup for Tay Jones, but it will not count. An eligible man, as Orange really set up this screen, and they couldn't have picked out a better time to call that play, Walter, because Graham blitzed just when Orange was anticipating it.
You're absolutely right, and it's disappointing for Pat Moser and his team. After having third in a zip code to go, they end up converting the play. After a bomb of a throw was dropped and everything looked like the drive was over, they somehow get the benefit of a defensive penalty that puts them in a position to convert the first down, but now they shoot themselves in the foot and get knocked all the way back down to the 15 again.
Piscatelli goes back in with Muller, coming out of the game Stewart and Jeffrey Campbell. This is usually the type of personnel that Orange likes to use when they go long, and they'll have to go long to pick up the first down because it's third and 16 now. Two wing backs. Bolden is in as the fullback. Clower will throw. Seven-step drop. Throws it down the field. And Jones is bumped going for the ball. Pass is incomplete along the near sideline. He and Daniel Graves got tangled up, and the officials will keep the flags in their pockets this time. So it's fourth down.
It would have been a tough call to call that defensive pass interference because Jones was really behind the defensive back on the play, and he was trying to run around him to get to the ball. But the defensive back wasn't doing anything intentional to stay in the wall. He was just tracking where that ball was going. It would have been the responsibility of Piscatelli on the play to get to that ball, which he tried to but couldn't. I think that's a good no call by the official.
Seth Mathis standing back at his own 2-yard line to punt the ball away. Takes a high snap and gets it away, but it goes off
the side
of his foot, and it barely gets back to the original line of scrimmage. A horrid punt that time.
Might be the worst punt I've ever seen.
That one went for 3 yards. Ball to the Panther 18-yard line, and when you have a special teams gaff like that, that's what we call a blood transfusion. Gives a team a chance that ordinarily could get blown out, a chance to stay in the game. Graham has exactly that. Ball at the Panther 18. That was an absolute gift there.
A 3-yard punt.
Yep.
It's like Charlie Brown.
Well,
punting for negative yardage.
At least that time, Seth got his foot on the ball. Lucy wouldn't let Charlie Brown do that. Newman sends a man in motion, and we have flags down, of course.
Sloppy. This game's getting real sloppy. Both these coaches need to reel in their squads a little bit, tell them to get their heads in the game here.
Walter is keeping track of the stats tonight while doing color commentary on my iPad. However, we'll have to chat with the folks over at Apple to see if my iPad malfunctions because of calculating too many penalties. It could be in danger. I wonder if my warranty covers that. I'll have to check and see. 5 yards here for an illegal motion against Graham, so it's first and 15 now, this time from the Orange 23. Graham and hearing the ball deep in Panther territory off the 3 yard punt by Mathis. And here's Newman. And Ensign Graves in motion. Handoff Lee running to the left. Tangled up in the backfield, and he's just going to fight forward for all that he can, but it's still a loss. First man to get over there was Nick Schultz. Following him was Stevenson, Byron Stevenson, and following him was Mark Holt.
They're going to knock him to the 25, it looks like here, Jeff. Tell you what, though, Terrence Lee trying as hard as he can on that run. He ends up getting driven back several yards from where his forward momentum stopped, and he got driven into the ground pretty hard. It looked like head first. I think the Graham assistant coaches were upset that no penalty was called at the end of that play, but that Orange defense just with another very nice stop.
Loss of two back to the 24, so it's second and 17 now. And here's Newman rolling out to the far side. He'll launch it over the middle, and it is incomplete. Short hop, the intended receiver, Graves that time. Bryce Wilson was on coverage, and he'll be third down at 17.
Yeah, Graham really needs to try and take advantage of this opportunity. They were in danger of, you know, having the Panthers in position to drive down the field before the end of the half and possibly go up 21-0. They get the benefit of a 3 yard punt, hit the ball inside the red zone, but now after taking a penalty and runs that went nowhere and an incomplete pass, they find themselves at third and 17, Jeff, and needing to pull something out of the playbook here to get on the board.
We got a streak on the line here for the Orange defense. I'll tell you what that is in just a second. Third and 17. Here's Newman rolling out once again, looking to set up a screen. Instead, he's tangled up and dropped for a big loss. It was Eric Compton who comes over on the sack. Also getting in there, Jack LeMaster, but it was Compton who will get credit for the sack. And then we have another flag down, ball back to the 36 of Graham. So that stands to be a loss of 12 on the play. Now let's see what the flag is about. Newman is not having any running room. He had plenty last week against Williams, where he was the leading rusher in the game for Graham. Tonight, he has not had that luxury. Let's see what the penalty is. It's going to be a personal foul against Orange. So that will be a dead ball foul that will move it ahead to the 21, which is still shy of the original line of scrimmage. The streak I was talking about earlier, the Orange defense has not given up a point in the second or third quarters this year. 86-0 coming into this game. Now it's 100-0. 100-0. That's how much Orange has outscored opposition in the sandwich quarters this season. It's going to be fourth down after the dead ball foul. Call it fourth and 13. Graves will move to the right side. Graham will go for it as opposed to going for the field goal here from Areolas. Newman stands out of the shotgun with Lee as his lone back. He'll quick play fake. Now throw it deep down the field. Slapped away. Piscatelli, flag is down in the end zone. Piscatelli slapped it away as the intended receiver, Graves, was going for the ball. Let's see what the flag is about. Orange doesn't look like they are disappointed after eavesdropping on the referee's conversation here. They're running off the field. This could be offensive pass interference. Fans are already cheering. Piscatelli did another stellar job at the corner position that time, and it is offensive pass interference against Graham. Graves interfered with Piscatelli, who really wasn't going for the pick anyway. And so it'll be first down for Orange at its own 21 as the penalty is declined. So a huge, huge play by Piscatelli, and the Orange defense keeps the streak alive. They still have not given up a point in the second or third quarters this year. They've outscored opposition 100-0. That's domination. Here's the handoff, running to the left. Jones meets pressure in the backfield, immediately scampers away. He's over the 30-yard line, and what a run by Tay Jones over the 35 to the 36.
Beautiful run. Gets elevated at the end of the play, jumping over the defender and flipping those legs around. Gets across the 35-yard line. Beautiful run by Jones to stay on his feet there.
So Tay Jones chalks up another 15 yards there. He's got 23 on the night. He's been held in check by his standards. Three 100-yard games for Jones coming into this contest. Orange leads 14-0. 5:18 remaining here in the first half. Jeff Hamlin, Walter Storholt with you from Almond Stadium in Hillsboro. And here's the handoff. Jones again out of the I formation. Runs to the left. He's over the 40-yard line. Chased to the turf there and hauled down at about the 41.
Looks like his helmet came flying off at the end of the play as well, so now he'll have to come off the field.
He was following the blocks of Tyler Rotano and Nick Gentle. Two senior linemen lining up on that left side, going at 6'2", 215 for Rotano, and 6'3", 200 pounds for Gentle.
Score update for you as East Chapel Hill Jeff leads Southern Alamance 14-7 at the end of the first quarter.
And as you mentioned, Walter, Jones again had his helmet come off, and the officials had to escort Jones to the sideline. Pat Moser wants an explanation, and the referee had to tell him he lost his helmet, so it's mandatory he sit out second and seven here.
Another update is Alamance's score to make it 14-14, just underway in the second quarter. Again, East Chapel Hill trying to hold on to get back into the lead there.
Yep. Wildcats would love consecutive victories, something they rarely get over at East. Here's a big run out of the middle. It's LeMaster, past the 45, to the 50. Angles near sideline, past the 45. Oh, he knocks down a Red Devil over the 40-yard line, and he's ahead to the 39.
I love watching LeMaster play. Certainly, Orange is missing not having Pettiford in the game, but LeMaster is doing yeoman's work and doing a great job filling in for him. Love watching him run. He lowers those shoulders. He's a short guy, but with big, broad shoulders, and he's really able to put a hurting on defenders. He stays on his feet for a long time, absorbs a lot of contact. He's fun to watch.
He's just the type of wrestler that Bobby Schreiner likes to have on the mat during the winter. You can understand why. He came in third in the region at 170 pounds this past year for a state championship Orange team. So first down after the 22-yard gain for Drew LeMaster. Again, out of the I formation. Clower, toss. It'll go to LeMaster, who lined up as the tailback. He's over the 35, far sideline 30. He's ahead and bolts his head down and streaks ahead past the 25-yard line. LeMaster's speed can be a little bit underrated, too, and he followed the blocks of Bertano and Gentile there for another 16 yards.
Pretty job, and his legs got undercut as he was trying to cut it back inside in the field and sent him tumbling over himself, but popped right back up. That's the other thing. He doesn't stay down after getting hit. He's right back on his feet faster than you can blink.
Markup will come at the Graham 24-yard line. So it's first down and 10 for the Panthers. Stewart is in the game now, the man who set up the big block earlier in the game on a punt return by J.D. Brooks. He's a wideout now to the right.
LeMaster with 56 yards now on four carries.
He's the leading Panther rusher in the game. First down. Here's Garrett Clower, and the toss this time goes LeMaster. He'll run to the right. Big block ahead. Past the 20, and he's to the 15. Credit the block by Michael Bolden that freed up LeMaster there for another first down carry.
Another nice run, and you can see the Graham defense has made an adjustment now. They are going for LeMaster's ankles to try and tackle him, knowing that they're not getting the job done tackling him up high. LeMaster will just have to be careful as he carries to be wary of his knees and ankles with the low hits. But another beautiful run as he gets it down to the 13.
And Graham has used its final timeout of the half. 2:41 remaining, a threatening Orange 14, Graham nothing, and you're listening to ChapelBurrow.com.
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro. So stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
When we come back to action, Orange will have the ball first and 10, but you sense that second-year Graham head coach Anthony Timmons called that timeout to give his defense a rest because Drew LeMaster and the blocking by this Orange offensive front, namely Michael Bolden coming out of the backfield, has really worn down the Red Devils. First and 10 for Orange after another big LeMaster run. Now Tay Jones dots the I formation. Clower under center. First and 10. Handoff, he'll go to Jones, right behind the block to left side, darts inside past the 10, still on his feet, over the 5, close to the first down, and he'll be gang tackled there. He wasn't brought down, mind you, just as forward progress was stopped, and once again, Jones lost his helmet. The markup will come at the 6. Stands to be a gain of 7. Helmet and now came, a flag comes
oh,
down
wow.
late.
Helmet came flying off and rolling along the ground. Flag coming very late here. Jones walking off the field very frustrated.
And we have unsportsmanlike conduct. I think Jones might have been the guilty party. He was clearly flustered after his helmet came off. He didn't want to take another play off here, especially when Orange has the ball in the red zone. So it's going to be 15 yards after the play. We are not shy of penalty yardage tonight here. This feels like a hockey game that features one fight after another. We're just adding up the penalty minutes. In this case, we're adding up the penalty yardage. The ball back to the 22 for second down. The yard to gain is the 3, so it's second and 19. After the unsportsmanlike conduct, the gain was good a moment ago for 6 by Jones, who again goes out of the contest. Stellar job blocking once again by Joe Poole and Zach Wagner just moments ago. On the run, Pat Moser wants an explanation from the officials about why the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty was whistled there against Jones.
2:19 to play here in the second quarter, 14-0 Orange. We'll have scores from across the area coming up on the halftime show. Jeff, Orange has eclipsed the 114-yard mark on the ground on 16 rushes, getting it done. 25 also, yards through the air.
Also have had 67 yards in penalties.
Which has really hurt them.
Yep. It's been a game where Orange's offense has been devoid of rhythm up until this drive, and just when they were getting it, the unsportsmanlike conduct call against Jones. It's been about as much in rhythm as a Bernard Hopkins boxing match, which is to say not at all for those non-boxing fans out there. All right, second down. Second and 19. In motion goes Kai Muller. Out of the eye, Clower looks the throw. Looks for Campbell, far sideline. Can't get open. Now Clower with another flag down is tackled for a sack. And the fans are starting to look at one another in the stands saying, can you believe these flags that are coming down here? We have a face mask called against Graham this time. It was thrown at the line of scrimmage. And perhaps Clower might have been the man who was interfered with. So this will make it second down. They'll keep it second down as Clower would have been stopped for a loss on the play. Instead, it'll be half the distance to the goal line. Well, they say a five-yard face mask.
Only the five-yard variety.
Okay. So it's going to be second down now from the 18-yard line. Again, the line, the gain will be the 3, so it's second and 15. Again, Muller in motion. With Clower in backfield, he'll have a toss sweep. It'll be LeMaster. Can't find any room to the left, so he reverses field. LeMaster tripped up in the backfield, stays on his feet, does everything he can just to get a gain out of it, which was saying something. He got it ahead to about the 16-yard line. It was a wild gain of 3 yards.
That was very wild. I got to say that was the first bad decision of the night for LeMaster because he went way back in his backfield, circling back around his quarterback. But with great skill, was able to still get some positive yards out of it.
He got 3 to make it 3rd and 12, and Orange uses up a timeout. They have 2 remaining with 1:24 remaining in the first half. Orange scored on its initial drive of the game after Joe Piscatelli intercepted a pass on the first drive of the night by Graham. And Orange wound up getting a big fourth down gain by Drew LeMaster, and that set up a 6-yard touchdown run by Michael Bolden to make it 7-0 after the extra point by Brad Barbie. And Orange with some impressive stats, although they've had to come about it very steadily, Walter.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they've been getting it done on the ground, but it's taken a lot of work. 18 rushes for 119 yards right now, only 3 pass completions in the game.
Usually Garrett Clower good for much more than that. Tonight he's just 3 of 8. That's well below his percentage on the year, which is 68%. He's below 50 tonight.
He did have what would be an 80-yard for a touchdown called back, or not called back, but an incompletion that should have been caught.
Now a play-action fake by Clower. Rolling far side. He'll throw it through the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown by Tay Jones. And Tay Jones with his first receiving touchdown of the year. This one good from 16 yards out, and the Panthers lead 20-0.
Nice job to roll out to his left there on the play by Clower. He finds Jones. Jones does another good job to catch that ball low. As Clower missed him a little bit, sent it down by his knees, maybe even a little bit lower than that. But Jones picked it up, looked in front of him, had nobody there, and just waltzed into the end zone.
So Jones with his eighth grab of the year. Now the extra point by Barbie is up. Plenty of distance and right through the uprights. And Orange now with a 21-0 lead against Graham with a minute 16 remaining. And we'll do a timeout. You're listening here to chapelboro.com.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Robbie Oakes, senior mortgage banker with Corporate Investors Mortgage Group. As a Chapel Hill native and a UNC grad, I am proud to work with the only locally owned mortgage bank in Chapel Hill. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows. Whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at cimginc.com. Go Heels.
It's the ninth touchdown strike of the year by Garrett Clower, throwing from 16 yards out to Tate Jones, and Orange leads 21-0. And then Barbie's kickoff almost stopped shy of the goal line. It wound up going at the one and then crawled over the goal line, and Lee managed to pounce on it there. He started just let it go. If he had left it alone, Orange might have been in business once again.
That was very close to stopping on the one-inch line, but just trickled across the goal line.
WCHL Championship Sports High School Game of the Week, presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. We thank you for listening here tonight to chapelboro.com. And Orange has got a 21-0 lead, looking for its first 4-0 start in recent memory. Newman, the quarterback for Graham, will keep it himself. Running to the right on first down, looking to run out the clock as Graham doesn't have any timeouts left here. And he runs ahead for 2 yards. That's where he stacked up as Mark Holt made the tackle. And Orange will use a timeout. They have now one remaining with a minute 4 left.
Orange going for the jugular. It looks like they want to get this ball back and see what they can do on offense. They might be able to get it, though, maybe if things go according to plan, with about 22 seconds left on the clock possibly. Just doing some quick calculations in the head. Somewhere around that, give or take a few seconds. Which they can do. I mean, they've got a great arm with Clower.
That's true.
Might try it down the field again.
The one thing they don't have tonight is Pat Pettiford, who is a wingback, but he's a wingback that is a big play threat. He's got 2 receiving touchdowns on the year. One came last week against Riverside for 85 yards, and then he had one in the season opener against Person for 59 yards. He has 2 receiving touchdowns, even though he carries the ball a fair amount as a rusher. But, of course, he's out tonight because of the sprained ankle suffered against the Riverside Pirates last week.
Southern Alamance has scored again against East Chapel Hill and converts a 2-point attempt to go up 22-14 over East Chapel Hill, that game with under 3 to play in the second quarter.
East Chapel Hill coming off the victory last week over Cedar Ridge. Chapel Hill off this week, and of course, East and Chapel Hill meet next week at Colton Pyramid Stadium for the Hodgson Cup. And you know the Wildcats want to take that trophy back to the east side. Here's the toss on second down and 9. Lee has no room at all to run, looking for anything he can. He darts for it and stops shy of the 25. Now let's see if Orange will call its second timeout. They will, or rather its third timeout. Tackle there made by 45, Nick Schultz. Also getting in there, Artrell Stewart. So Orange has stopped the clock with 50 seconds remaining, and Graham has a 3rd and 5 coming up. And you would guess that they're going to keep it on the ground, Walter. And when you're dealing with the Graham special teams game, which Orange wants to do here, it looks like all bets are off.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You might see a bad punt come out of this if that's what Orange is banking on. Maybe they try and bring the punt block team. I like the aggressive style of Pat Moser here. You know, even though you've got a 21-0 lead, this is a good opportunity for your team to work on some things. Like, hey, can we hold a team with under a minute to play in the half? Can we hold them on these downs, use our timeouts effectively, and try and score with maybe a short field or with a short order on the clock? It's always a learning experience, and that's what I like about what Pat Moser's doing here. It's not a rub in the face of the other team or anything like that. You've got to try and coach your team to its maximum and not play down to any sort of talent or this. Don't play down to the situation. Always try to play your best. That's what they're doing here.
One thing that looks like it will be certain is Orange's defense, the first team defense, will keep its streak intact. They have not given up a point this year so far, the first team defense. Want to make sure that's clear. Here's the pitch out. Lee trying to round up the clock. It's got some room. He's past the 25 over the 30, and he's got the first down over the 35-yard line. Darts ahead to about the 39, where finally Piscatelli dove for his knees, and he was upended there was Lee. But he's got the first down, and Graham should be able to run out the clock now.
Missed tackles by that Orange defense cost them the opportunity of getting the ball back. And now, you know, it does look like Orange is going to wind this clock down. But now that they've got the ball on the 40-yard line, I mean, you're almost thinking if you're Graham, hey, get out there and throw the ball a couple of times. See what you can do.
They do have a rangy player out there in Daniel Graves, number 7. He split out wide to the right. Let's see what Newman opts to do. Calls for the ball. Fakes the toss. He's going to look for Gray. It's going deep down the field, and it's over his head, incomplete.
Now a late flag
comes down. J.D. Brooks is going to be whistled for pass interference. The fans are furious, feeling that that was an uncatchable ball.
It certainly was, and the hit came after the ball had already hit the ground past both players, and now the referees are going to discuss.
Let's see if they call this uncatchable. Nope, pass interference against Orange. Wow. So it's going to be 15 yards. It's not a spot of the foul penalty like it is in the NFL when it's beyond 15 yards. But that will take the ball into Panther territory at the 45.
Also, a player slow to get up for Graham, Don Evans, wide receiver who was downfield at about the 30-yard line, finally helping himself up, but he's still standing in the middle of the field, getting some help from the trainers, looking at his arms.
I think there was a mix-up between two of the wide receivers for Graham because it looked like two players ran the same route and they wound up in the same spot, which is not how things are supposed to go.
The only thing I can think about on that pass interference play is that the flag, even though it came late, the interference happened while the receiver was running upfield, and he was slowed somehow by the defender, maybe holding on to him or grabbing him. But I'm being very generous in that.
Yes.
In that analysis, as it certainly did look like a bad call from up here.
The flag thrown by the back judge against J.D. Brooks, who helped set up the second Orange touchdown of the night after a 39-yard punt return. And, of course, you can't talk about that play without mentioning a tremendous block by Archrell Stewart. Had it happened in college or the NFL, you would have seen that block on the SportsCenter Top 10. So Graham's got themselves in business now after Orange looked like they were trying to get the ball back to end the first half. Here's Newman with two wingbacks. They'll run their own double wing here. Newman takes the play action fake, looks to throw, looks. He's ganged up on, nearly lost the ball, and he's sacked from behind. It was Mark Holt who got in there. Looked like he and Jack LeMaster got there simultaneously. Newman actually fought forward, and that's going to end the first half. Loss of one officially on the play. And the Orange defense, what can you say about this group? The first team defense still with an unblemished mark through the first 14 quarters of this year. That's 3.5 games. They have not given up a point. And the score at the end of the first 24 minutes of action is Orange 21, Graham nothing. And you're listening to chapelboro.com.
Have you been looking for acupuncture, massage, nutrition advice, yoga therapy, guided imagery, hypnosis, and expert physicians who understand how you can use these services to benefit your health and your life? Come to Duke Integrative Primary Care. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill. Open to all and now accepting insurance.
Mark Vitale's All of That Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All of That Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All of That Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you here from Orange High School, where the Panthers have a 21-0 lead over the Graham Red Devils. Jeff Hamlin on play-by-play. Walter Storholt with you here on color commentary. Before we get to the stats from the first half between the Panthers and Red Devils, let's give you some scores from across the area. And, Jeff, we'll get your thoughts on maybe some of the implications of some of these scores, see if any of these are surprising to you as well as we kind of tick through a couple right here. An update from East Chapel Hill as the Wildcats have come back with another touchdown. Stell passes to Hankins for a 40-yard touchdown pass. East adds the extra point. Southern Alamance is who they're going up against tonight. Alamance had made a two-point conversion earlier in the game, so they do lead 22-21 over the Wildcats, now under 2.5 minutes to play in the first half there. Be another big win for East Chapel Hill if they can tick off another one in the win column in this contest.
Absolutely. And, Walter, I think last week's game with Chapel Hill and Carrboro outlines that when you have rivals, and, of course, East is not going up against a traditional rival tonight, but when you do have these rivalries, you never know exactly what's going to happen. Even though East wants the momentum going into their game against Chapel Hill next week, you just never can tell from one week to the next what's going to happen with these local teams facing one another. However, it would be especially important for East to get this non-conference win because it's been a long time since they've had two consecutive non-conference wins in a row.
Northern Durham struggling, down 28-2 against Millbrook. That game is in the second quarter there. Talk about a fall from grace for the Knights.
It's going to be tough for Coach R.W. Wilson there trying to get things going back with Northern because they had some very important players transfer away from the program. We saw them 2 weeks ago here against Orange, and it's going to be a tough climb up because the majority of skilled positions for that Northern team are held by underclassmen, and it's just going to be a lot of learning on the job. The good news is the Pac-6 doesn't look all that deep this year, so there's still a chance Northern could get one of the three playoff positions up for grabs in the Pac-6.
Garner beating Cary as we hop over a little bit further to the east side of the listening area. Garner up 21-7 over the Imps in that contest. See if we can run down a couple of more scores for you. Battle of the Vance schools. Southern Vance leading Northern Vance 13-0. And I believe we have one other game of interest to bring you the score of here tonight. See if I can spot it before we sign off and get ready to send you back to stats from the first half. Yes, Southern Durham trailing Scotland 7-0. That score back from the end of the first quarter. Game's a little bit further along than that, but the last update we have, Southern Durham down 7-0 in the early going. And Cardinal Gibbons, battle of the belt line, a lot of attention in the triangle on this game, leading Broughton 21-0. So Cardinal Gibbons again proving, because it's of interest to teams around here, that they are going to be a force to be reckoned with this year.
Cardinal Gibbons, Southern Durham, Orange, Northwood, all in the same league. That is going to be one powerful Big East. And when you have so many teams lined up like that in such a powerful league, there's an outside chance a team that could make a deep run in the 3A or 3AA playoffs may not even make the playoffs. Again, an outside chance of that happening.
You're absolutely right. We are at halftime, though, here at Orange High School, where the Panthers lead 21-0 over the Graham Red Devils. We'll give you stats from the first half and analysis coming up in just a moment. You're listening to High School Football on Chapelboro.com.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Geez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility. What you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you here on chapelboro.com as Orange High School leads the Graham Red Devils 21-0 at halftime. We'll give you some stats from that first half, Jeff, as we take a look. First for the Orange Panthers, since they were the powerhouse, ran the ball 18 yards there in the first half for 119 yards. A good gaining on the ground for them. You look at some of the leaders and the lead rushers for the Panthers. Drew LeMaster, 6 rushes for 73 yards, much of that coming on that last drive. Mm-hmm. Tay Jones was a force as well with 8 rushes. He was kind of the workhorse through much of that half. Only got 34 yards on the ground, but he did take it in for a score. And Michael Bolden, when he's been called upon, has been good in short yardage situations, 4 rushes for 12 yards, and he rumbled into the end zone as well.
And we say only for Tay Jones because this is a young man averaging 124 yards per contest, and he's only had 4 varsity starts, the fourth of which is coming up tonight. Orange, you mentioned, Walter, they come away with 150 yards of total offense on the dot. That actually might be disappointing for Coach Moser because they're averaging 401 yards total offense so far this year.
There's a big reason for that. 8 penalties for 82 yards.
Yeah.
That's going to wipe out a lot of your offensive production. It wiped off a kick return for a touchdown and so much more. And the other interesting stat I find here, Jeff, and I think it's because of those penalties forcing really tough third down situations. Orange only 2 of 8 on third down situations, and that's going to be something that the coaches really scratch their heads about or maybe stomp on the ground a little bit.
Perhaps the play of the game, though, Walter, was the 1 fourth down conversion that Orange tried that came on its initial possession of the game, a 4th and 6, and it was LeMaster with the carry. He got 15 yards on a carry around right end, and there was a 15-yard face mask called against Graham that set up the touchdown run by Michael Bolden, which put Orange out in front.
As frustrating as that may be, though, the Graham Red Devils are having an even more frustrating night. They've got 5 penalties for 32 yards, which is more than their offensive production of only 30 yards on the ground on 16 rushes. So averaging less than 2 yards a rush are the Graham Red Devils this evening, and 0 for 5 passing as well with an interception. So far it's been a tough night for the Graham Devils. Lead passer, Jamie Newman. Newman struggling a little bit, and they're only 1 of 6 on third down as well. Just nothing going on offense for Graham.
And this is a Graham team coming off their best offensive performance of the year last week against Westridge Alamance, where they wound up with 212 yards total offense, and Newman was 10 of 25 in that contest, and he ran for 64 yards. He was the leading passer, of course, since he's the quarterback, and he was the leading rusher in that game, but it just hasn't come for him tonight.
Newman with negative 3 yards. He's taken the ball down seven times so far tonight, just hasn't been able to get across that line of scrimmage to produce much. But Darius Lee has been the bright spot for the Graham Red Devils with 8 rushes for 30 yards. But it hasn't been enough to get any points up on the board. And, Jeff, as you mentioned, that shutout streak continues for this Orange defense, not allowing a touchdown. The first team defense not allowing a touchdown all season long now through 3.5 games.
Going into the third quarter of this game, in the second and third quarters this year, Orange has outscored opposition now 107 to nothing. That's remarkable. 107 to nothing. And if they can shut out Graham in the third quarter, they'll go into the bye week with that shutout streak intact as they prepare for their conference opener 2 weeks from tonight in Pittsburgh against the Northwood Chargers.
Teams getting ready to come back out on the field as it looks like the band is wrapping up their performance here this evening, and we have some excitement on the way in the third quarter between these two teams. We also have one more score update to give you, which we'll do when we come back to get you ready for the second half between the Panthers and, of course, the Red Devils of Graham. 21-0, Panthers on top at home. We'll see what happens in the second half when we return on chapelboro.com.